We'll be reading the 29th chapter of Isaiah. And then we're going to be also reading in Luke, the 18th chapter. If you would, Luke 18th chapter, we're going to start with the second verse. It says, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Here we have a judge that is, by all definition, a man that is so self-centered that he regardeth not what God would think. He regardeth not what man would think, that he was placed in a position by God, but yet he within himself thought that there was none greater than himself. And yet we find a man that is going to listen to the petition of a woman. I think that we might lose sight of just what is being said here. We know that back in biblical days that a woman was to remain quiet. We know that a woman that her witness was not regarded as much as with a man, and yet we find a man here, a judge that cares not what God would think or man would think, and yet he would hear a woman. And the Bible tells us that how much the more shall the Lord hear us. I think that the Lord is trying to communicate to us the importance of being, as it were, persistent, but not just persistent, but diligent. We were speaking about this in Sunday school, that we were thinking within our mind, can you be diligent without being without being a hard worker? I don't think that I think that everyone that is diligent is working hard at whatever they might be doing. But I also know that just because you're a hard worker don't mean that you're diligent. We're going to turn on over into the 29th chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to read in the 13th verse on down to the through the 16th. And it says, "Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of man. Now therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And their works are in the dark. And they say, Who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be as esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say unto him that framed it, He hath no understanding. He had no understanding." As we pray, dear Heavenly Father, I'd ask you, Lord, that you would bless in this service, God. Lord, we just want to be obedient unto you, Lord. We just don't want to work hard, dear God, but we want to be diligent. Lord, thank you for showing us the difference, Lord. Thank you for explaining to us, Lord, that we must be busy about your business, Lord, that it's not just good to be busy about something, Lord, but that we need to be busy about that which you have given us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We might not be feeling well about it today, but I still want to be diligent. We find here a woman that went before a judge. A woman, no doubt, that it was without, outside of her grasp. Avenging her own enemies, she come to the judge, and because of her persistence, he heard her time and time again. This is the power of persistence. This is the power of not being slothful, about being diligent. We can say to ourselves, we're a hard worker. I was thinking this week what it is to mean to be a hard worker, and I'm beginning to think about in a ditch. There's nothing harder, no doubt, in a lot of people's mind than digging a ditch. But listen, if the Lord has given us something to do, it might be to plant a tree. And we're digging a ditch. Listen, that's not persistence. Although we might be working hard at it, digging a trench from here to Lebanon. But the Lord has told us to plant a tree. Listen, both of them takes removing the soil. Both of them in this old rocky ground. Takes swinging a pick and a shovel. But can't you see the difference between digging a ditch and planting a tree? I believe God would have us do just as he said. Some of us, as it's already been mentioned already today, to the naked eye, there might be some of us that are a little more pleasing to look at than others. But I want to tell you, who are we to say? God is the potter, and we are the clay, and he has made us a vessel. But what do we want to do? We want to turn it upside down. What good is a vessel that is upside down? It is all it is good for is decoration. But is it not foolish for everybody that walks by? Listen, if we would just stand erect, if we would just stand before the presence of God, we can be a vessel of honor. That when he sends his showers of blessings, we might be, as it were, sisters that are not cracked, sisters that are not broken, but we can be a vessel fit for the potter. The Bible says there was those that worship thee with their lips, but their hearts far from thee. Lip service, listen to me. We know that there are those that can speak eloquently. We seen a man on the way to church, a man that we know not too well, but well enough. We see him going inside a church building, and my wife began to speak about him. And you know, I said, we begin to communicate that his wife, as it is with so many others, they can't play church. You gotta be born again. You gotta get in or you gotta get out. That there was no entertainment and going to a church. That was nothing more than a social club. She bowed out of place as well as she would feel out of place, no doubt here, because she was lost. But I want to tell you something. There are those that are raised to the church, and it seems like they're the only ones that are effective at playing church and being content with it, because they are raised to know what is proper and what is not. This is what the Bible speaks about when it says there are a generation, as it were, in Isaiah's day, that worships me with their lips. They know everything you say. They know how to act. They know what is prim and what is proper. They know what to wear in church and what is permissible.
miserable outside of church in their own mind. But I want to tell you, God said their heart is far from me. They have raised a generation that religion is nothing more than a form and a fashion. And we find them not just content, as it were, to worship their God with their lips, because their parents gave him not their heart, and they desire not to give him their heart nor their lips. The Lord would have us to give him both, but we find today that there are those buildings, as it were, places that were once places of worship, that we find people gathering together, and it's really quite pathetic to see how a lost man and his feeble way tries to worship God. I was at an auction yesterday, and it was a night auction. I believe the auctioneer, his last name's Matt, but he was there, and it was there at the sheriff's department, and I don't know the details of it, but this gentleman, whatever he did, an old man looked to me like a drunkard that had sobered up some. He looked around and he said to me, as he said to others, I wonder what this feller done. I suppose that if the law comes and takes all you got, it probably wasn't something good. And I said, I imagine not. I don't know what he done, but here was a man that no doubt was thinking in his mind that this man has done something greater or more evil than even I've done. But there we were. And he was a man. Whoever this man is, we went by him on the street. This one that they had seized his property. That as he began to look at all he had, his tools, his trailers, his vehicles, you begin to be able to see a little bit and begin to understand a little bit of the nature of this man. Do you follow me here? People can look at your possessions and it'll tell a lot about you. We were there, and I imagine they had a little bit of machine experience, because he had a lot of machine shop tools, even though he had a business where he went around fabric welding. He had a portable welder and a trailer and all of those kind of things. But here was an auctioneer. It's kind of like the old song about a man trying to sell a fiddle. Nobody wanted it until it began to be played by somebody that knew how to play. And before it was all said and done, that old auctioneer didn't sell a fiddle, but he sold a priceless violin. So where we were, but unlike in that song, this man began to sell these tools, and he didn't know what they were. And he began, does anybody know what this is? All right. And I seen him sell box after box of tabs, and he was calling them easy outs. It was kind of funny. There was three others from work there, and then there were several people that used to work where I worked, and I looked across the trailer, and they all was kind of grinning. There was people there bidding on that stuff anyway, that knew the value of it. And I was thinking, how sad, because the man had gathered up just like old Darrell, loan officer at FHA, was there, and I bought a few things. He said, Darrell, you should have bought a lot more. I said, the problem was is that all of those other things that they were selling, I already had. And he said, you should have bought them. They went cheap and sold them to the new guys. And I didn't go into it, but I didn't want to tell him that there ain't no new guys. there ain't nobody, there are very few people getting in the machinist trade. It's a dying art. But anyhow, as we've seen those things, I bought some 1-2-3 bucks. And some parallels. And to you, they mean nothing, but they're a tool that I use. And I looked on that block, and I seen the man's had, he had took an engraver. And he had engraved his name on that 1-2-3 block that now belongs to me, and the date when he bought it back in 1999. And I thought, his handwriting's a whole lot better than mine. And no doubt the rumor was, and I don't know, but you know, for them to seize everything like that, it was probably drug related. It was probably him and his family brewing meth. And it kind of broke my heart. Thinking that here was a man by all his possessions, though many of them could have been stolen, I don't know. He had gathered in appointed time, some of them from way back, some of them from several years ago, and he had gathered them together. And I've got to say all of that to say, and the auctioneer, I didn't even know how valuable they were. He didn't know what the possession, what they were and how they could be used. And the hand of a skilled tradesman. And he said, all right, what do we got there? I began to bid on a protractor. And it was one that had I've always wanted one, and I should have went a little bit higher on that, but I didn't. Because there I was standing, and I wanted to bid on a cattle trailer later, and I didn't want to carry it around. But it had such fine measurements that right on this protractor, there was a magnifying glass so that you can measure stuff not in degrees but down to the seconds of degrees. And I begin to, and he said, all right, what is that? Okay, it's some kind of scale of some sort. And they started bidding on it, and I bid it up. But the man that was bidding against me was an owner of a machine shop, so I let him have it anyway. I figured, what be the point? I probably ain't gonna get it, and I quit. But listen, that's the problem we run into, is it not? We see our life. We are as a frame that a carpenter has built. And they say, what good is it? What good can this do? And we try in our own way to repair that which we thought was broken. And in doing so, we turn our world upside down. Why? Because we might be hard workers, but we're not diligent. We're not diligent about the things of God. We don't seek His face. But the Bible here tells me that when Jesus Christ was speaking of that wicked and unjust judge, He said, "How shall and shall not God avenge His only elect?" And then He begins to define who His elect is. Is this describing you, church? He said here, "Which cried day and night unto me, though He bear long with me." God's elect cries day and night unto God Almighty. Why? Because they are diligent to be faithful unto Him and seek the resources of an Almighty God. Oh, but we say, but we don't need to. We say, would it not be better for a spittoon to be turned upside down? But that's the only thing of a vessel I could think of. If and we were vessels. The Bible speaks of a vessel, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. Well, listen, if we were all vessels and I was a spittoon, that's the only thing I could imagine that I'd want to be. Well, maybe there's some others that they used in the olden days when they had outhouses. But you know what? You think about that. That would be the only purpose of me as a vessel, to be turned upside down. Oh yes, there were some guys at work talking about that. I dropped the gauge block in my trash can
That's a block that you measure stuff with, and they come in increments of just not only a thousandths, which would be to divide an inch up a thousand times, but in tenths of thousands. And you put all these gauge boxes together, and that's how you'll gauge whether you cut a slot wide enough. Well, there was a 100,000 gauge block. It was laying on my table, and it fell off and it went in the trash can. And I looked as it went in the trash can, and it bounced around. It's a trash can. I just put my cups from drinking tea or cappuccino and my rags in, and boop boop boop. It went all the way down to the bottom. I thought, oh, for goodness sake. It was almost quitting time. I went down there and I started moving the stuff around. And though it's my trash can, there's some that thinks it's a spittoon. And I dug around there, and Tammy was there, one of them fellas that spits in it. I said, oh, they're going to have to buy another gauge block. Somebody's used my trash can for a spittoon. He just laughed and thought that's funny. I didn't. But listen. If God would have created us as a vessel to be nothing more than a spittoon, to be turned upside down, would he still to be spit upon? Because that's just how common people are, to chew tobacco. There's one guy spits right in his cooling tank. I don't run behind him, but I'd say something to the fella if I ran behind him. I wouldn't want to be washing my hands off in that stuff. It stinks. And, see, my point is, what God would have us do, we need to get done. We need to be diligent at it. And if God has given me the job clean up behind of those that are filthy, well, then I need to do that. Well, I went home and I come back to work, and you know what? I knew they weren't going to buy another gauge block. I looked in that trash can. Oh, well, I guess maybe I can move some things around. I did, and I went another day without using that gauge block because I was finished the job. And I knew that they was going to come and maybe empty that trash can, so it went 2 or 3 days, and I buckled down and I got me some gloves. I began emptying that trash can. We used these disposable white rags. They're made out of like a paper towel, but they're really a lot heavier than that. And I got them out of there, and they soak up whatever goes in there. And I just didn't want to quickly into that trash can, because we're talking about a very tiny gauge block, about a year long. Run all that trouble, I have to do it again. Because you know how when you watch that mud, something can fall in there. You just throw it in the other trash can. So I took my time. I put in a piece of chewing gum, fresh piece of chewing gum, kind of helped with the odor. I began to search through that. And I thought I'd done it real well. And this is the foolish thing that I did. I drugged my co-worker's trash can over that spits in it constantly to take that trash, put in his as I'm looking at it. I get all the way down to the bottom, and I went through all of that, and I couldn't find it. I looked back over in that other trash can. And it kind of angered me a little bit. I mean, when I used to chew tobacco, we always put stay dry on the floor and spit on that, and then shoveled that up and put it in the wheelbarrow. Just for times when you'd have to dig through a trash can. I wouldn't want to dig through my own, let alone somebody else's. There was just a bunch of old loose chips in the bottom of that trash can. peeled the old trash bag up out of the can and I shuffled that. And I began to sort through those chips. Well, there's about three handfuls in there. And one handful, I sorted through it. Now it's not there. Another handful. They are going to have to buy them a gauge block. I'll just do without. Because I ain't going to go into that other trash can. And my last handful, there it was. Mixed in all those curly chips, I found that block. Got it out and wiped it off. I was glad to see that. And I was glad that I had forced myself to do that which was uncomfortable. Because even though I didn't need that little piece of equipment or that block, as it were, there would come a day I would. It had been too late once they emptied it in the dumpster. They empty, they've got a big old semi-sized dumpster. And because of the plate manufacturer next to us, we share a dumpster. They empty that at least twice a week. Do you see where I'm heading with this? Been too late once it went in there. Been too late once that went to the, I think they take it at the heart bill. Sometimes, when we turn our world upside down, those very precious things that we will need in the future are lost. And if God would show us at that time, now is the time when we are to search. My grandmother, and I don't know where she heard it, but she would say in Sunday school, when she was our Sunday school teacher, she'd read it somewhere, that a man just like a river, when he travels the path of least resistance, they twain shall become crooked. Where we grew up, I didn't fully comprehend that because all the rivers and streams, they had a lot of fall to them, and they weren't near as crooked as the ones out here. But you can get you a map, but you just look how crooked the Gasconade is, and even the Osage. Why? Because that river, as it wound through there since the beginning of time, was trying to find that path of least resistance. When we don't have a clear vision, what does the Bible say about without a vision? We perish. And when we wander the path of least resistance, we wander around. Now, the principles of God are so many times truly simple. But let us not confuse simple with easy. We used the analogy this morning of the men that landed on the beaches of Normandy had a simple task. They had to go from point A to point B. But it was not easy. It took the fortitude and the courage of a generation that I don't believe, of a people of a generation that I don't believe are as common as it once was. We see that there are men of valor in every generation. But there was men there that realize, though that this task might be monumental in their mind and be even yet impossible, what they needed to do is to understand that though it is a task that can be accomplished, it's not easy, and embrace that. And realize that we are created for this generation and for a purpose. We live in a culture where it just seems as if men has been diminished to nothing. And we are taught in school that all that we see is by chance. And that there are vessels because of the random acts of nature, or that we have not a purpose in life, and that if you become anything in life, it'll be out of your own doing, out of your own scratching it out of the earth, out of your own greed, and struggling, as it were, and that whatever you accomplished because of something you did. You know, if this is your mentality, you will soon be discouraged. But if you realize that you have a purpose, and that all we have to do is to be as those that are elect and cry to God day and night and know that He will hear us. Not only will He hear us, but He will answer us. And that His answers a lot of times are not what we would want to hear. That when He answers us, when our world is so upside down, and He has created us to be a vessel to contain His Holy Spirit, and we stand on our head, and so that all the rain does is to wash over us, and we allow it not to dwell within us, and we become creatures that professing with our lips, but our heart is far from Him. I will challenge each and every one of you. It is a simple fact that those that are diligent are hard workers. But just simply because we know this fact, I think a lot of times we think we've got to work hard. But working hard in and of itself is not being diligent. But we have to see the goal. We have to perceive what that goal is. And that is the purpose of reading God's Word. And then through persistence, we cannot just be an effective ditch digger, but we can be one that can plant a tree. And that God can use us, as it were, to stop the tides of a generation that seems to be eroding on the perception of who God is and what He'll do for you. Let's get some song to sing. Now, do you see what we are becoming? Now, years ago, people, regardless of what denomination, they would come and they would sing the hymns, they would listen to the sermon, and they would be professors with their lips. I speak not of all, but I speak in generalities. And they would leave outside those doors. And what they heard and what they said and what they did within these walls affected them very little. We see a culture today that does not see the need to come. So they don't hear the words. Well, more importantly, they don't say the words. They don't hear the words. So they too, just as the generation before them, will live a life outside these walls that are unaffected by the gospel. But the Lord would have our hearts. And how does He get our hearts? By us allowing Him to use us for what He has created us for. And though Daryl might think he knows better, and Daryl does not know better, for who are we to argue with God? Serve does not want the worship of our lips, that alone, but He wants what our lips to say, to portray what is in our heart. Though we can be conditioned to say anything, He wants a regenerated heart. And from a regenerated heart comes true praise on the lips of His children.